Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm John, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. Now I'm serving God full-time in a growing local church as a music pastor. West Coast prepared me both academically and spiritually for a great future in ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
If I asked you, what is God's purpose for your life, what would you answer? Most young adults don't really have a clear picture of what they should do after high school. In fact, there are so many options, the decision can actually be scary. If you're interested in discovering God's perfect plan for your future, or if you'd like to prepare to serve God in full-time ministry, then find out more about West Coast Baptist College at wcbc.edu.
The Christian life is a faith journey, which means it is a journey of uncertainty. It's a journey of dependence on God. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study the faith journey of some great Bible characters, and we want to strengthen you in your journey of faith. Stay with us. Wherever today's broadcast finds you, we want to come alongside of you and strengthen you in your faith journey. The Christian life is a journey, and it is a journey of faith, and that means it's a journey of uncertainty, it's a journey of trust, a journey of dependence on the Lord. And that means that God brings us to moments that are uncertain, moments when we must cast our dependence afresh and anew upon Him. That can be overwhelming at times, and wherever this broadcast finds you, we hope that today's study in the Word of God will strengthen you in your journey of faith. I'm Kerry Schmidt. Welcome to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday and brings the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God from the pulpit of the Lancaster Baptist Church. And Dr. Chappell also serves as the founder and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our present series is entitled Journeys of Faith. Throughout this series, we're going to take an examination of great Bible characters at critical moments of faith, overwhelming moments of trust. We're going to discover what they discovered along their journey of faith. Before we join today's message, I invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Talk about growing in your faith. There's a host of resources at Daily in the Word from Dr. Chappell, including a complimentary daily devotional, including the podcast of all of the recent broadcasts. If you're catching this series later or you want to find out what was recently broadcast or subscribe to this podcast and take it with you and listen to at your convenience, there's so much to be found at dailyintheword.org. I hope you'll just stop by and visit us, and especially let us know via the website that our program is touching your life today. Today we're turning to 1 Samuel chapter 16, the journey to the Valley of Elah.
No king in Israel's history was more loved, more mentioned, and really no king has been more referred to than this king by the name of David. He was a man of God, a man after God's only heart, who was used of God to establish the faith of Israel and to bring this nation out of obscurity and into renown and great power in the Near East. Last week we saw how that Israel had demanded a king. They were turning their back from the judges, from the men of God who would rule and reign, and they said to Samuel, "We want a king like all the other nations." And may I say, whenever an individual or a church or even a nation has a desire to be like the others rather than to seek God's will, many times we're headed for trouble. And you may surround yourself with your friends and you may surround yourself with the philosophies of others, but the philosophies of others should never prevail over the philosophy of the Word of God. And the children of Israel said, "We want to be like the other nations. Give us a king." And so, of course, we learned last week that Saul became the king of Israel. We also learned that Saul was a self-willed and a presumptuous man. And on one occasion, as he was preparing for battle with the Philistines, rather than wait for Samuel to come and offer sacrifice, Saul took things into his own hands. And there he offered the sacrifice to God that was only to be offered by the priest, by the prophet of God, Samuel. And so the Bible says in 1 Samuel 15 and 26, "And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." Folks, we must remember that we serve a God who is very tender towards us and very loving towards us, but the Spirit of God is easily quenched. And when there is sin and disobedience in our life, it is a grievous thing to God. And when Saul committed this sin of abomination in worship, the Bible says at that very moment, God said, "I'm done. I cannot use this self-willed man to bring honor and glory to my name." And so we come this morning to the time when God would select a king after his own heart. And this man, David, was his choice. Notice, if you would, in our outline this morning, David's calling. We caught a glimpse of it in our scripture reading this morning. And as we saw David's calling and David's anointing, what a great story indeed we see in the Word of God. I want you to see in the first place this morning the purpose of David's calling. Why is it that David was chosen? Why was it that God was choosing David? We saw Samuel being sent down to the house of Jesse. We see that Samuel was instructed to choose from Jesse's house a king. And there are two specific reasons why David is now being chosen. The first one I mentioned a moment ago, and that is that Saul was the king chosen of the people. Saul was the people's choice, but he had not necessarily been a man after God's own heart. The Bible began in chapter 16 and verse 1, we read a moment ago, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel?" 1 Samuel 8 and verse 5 says, "And said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." The people had demanded a king, but this king had transgressed, and so God had removed him. In fact, God said in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 11, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be the king." And so the first reason David was chosen was because Saul was being set aside. But I want you to notice, secondly, David was chosen because God was looking for a man after his own heart. God wanted a man who would serve him with all of his heart. Now listen very carefully. God is looking for men and women today with a heart for him. This is not something that is merely applicable to a king or someone in leadership or to a pastor. But every man in here should desire to be a man after God's own heart. And every man in here should recognize that when we begin to write out how we're going to live our Christian life, and we don't care what the Bible says, and when we determine to have our will in our way, when we determine to live in that way, may we recognize that God is not pleased with that self-will. We live in the day where Americans want to have Burger King Christianity. They want to have it their way. But I believe what we need today is some Wendy's Christianity. We need it old-fashioned and red hot. Amen? We need some Christians that say, "I'm not going to be like Saul. I'm not going to come to church when I want, read the Bible when I want, be faithful when I want, and do things the way I want to do. But I will be like David, a man after God's own heart." And we see here, he was a man that truly pleased the Lord. Every man in this room ought to say, and every woman as well, "I want my life to be pleasing to my God." Now notice, if you would, in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." 1 Samuel 13, 14, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart." Time and again we read that. Even in the book of Acts, this phrase was once again repeated. Now we read the story a moment ago. God said to his man Samuel, "I want you to go to Jesse's house. I want you to have his sons come before you. One of these sons is going to be my king. I have turned my back on Saul. I'm going to choose one of these to be my king." And as he has the sons begin to pass by, the Bible records for us that the first son was a young man by the name of Eliab. Eliab was the eldest. Eliab perhaps was the strongest, certainly was very large in his size and pleasing to look upon. And here we get a great lesson in the Christian life. You see, what is logical to us is not always to be the way of God. And when Samuel saw Eliab, he said, surely this will be the one that God will choose. And yet we read a moment ago in verse 7, he said, I have not chosen him. He said, Samuel, you look on the outward, but I look on the heart. And you see, the purpose of David's calling was simply this fact, that God was looking for a man after his own heart. You want to find out what kind of a heart pleases God? Turn to Psalm 23 and I'll show you very quickly. I'll show you the kind of heart that God is looking for. Oh, listen, the 23rd Psalm is not just nice reading at a funeral. It is truly a pattern of living. It is truly the revelation of the heart of a man of God. I believe that God chose David for several reasons. I believe, first of all, David had a believing heart. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I believe we need men today who are not afraid to say, I am a Christian. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. David had a believing heart. I believe, secondly, David had a teachable heart. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I wonder today, friend, do you have a teachable heart? Do you follow God? Are you here to conform to the image of Jesus Christ or just to do a little religious time? The Bible was very clear that David had a teachable heart. Thirdly, David had a holy heart. David said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Oh, you're getting a glimpse at the heart that so pleased Almighty God. David had a confident heart. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. David's heart was a heart totally trusting in God. David had a thankful heart. He said, my cup runneth over. David had a fixed heart. He said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You want to know the heart of David? Read Psalm 23. You'll see a holy heart, a confident heart, a thankful heart, a fixed heart, a believing heart, and you'll begin to understand why God said, I can't use Saul, but I can use this little shepherd boy out on the backside of his daddy's pasture. I can use this young man. We'll see in a moment, just a young man, perhaps 12 to 17 years of age, in that frame somewhere. And God saw this young man's heart, that it was tender toward God. And the purpose of the calling of God upon David was that God wanted a king who was after his own heart. You take time in your bulletin to find the purpose statement of the Lancaster Baptist Church. Our purpose is not necessarily to have the best dress or the fanciest or the nicest on the outside or the tallest. You'll read the purpose statement of this church, and the very first line says to develop a people who have a heart for God. That's what this church is all about, through the preaching and the teaching and the singing, to develop a people who have a heart for God. I am fully convinced that if we have a heart for God, we'll be a thankful people, we'll be a believing people, we'll be a giving people, we'll be a holy people. But if your heart and mine is not right, we will not be the church that God has called us to be. God said, I can't use Saul. His heart is presumptuous and self-willed. But now this shepherd boy, he's got the kind of heart that I can use. Oh, the purpose of David's calling, keep it in mind. God wanted a man after his own heart. But notice, secondly, the process of David's calling. We saw it a moment ago, the selection of David. It was not based on the outward attributes. It was not based upon the talents necessarily. It was based upon the heart. The Bible says in chapter 16 and verse 12, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Here we see God's selection. And oh, what a wonderful moment in David's life. And may I say, it is a wonderful moment in your life when God chooses you and uses you. And what a great day in David's life that God would select him as his choice servant. Robert Murray McShane wrote to a missionary friend just after his friend had been ordained. And he wrote these words, in great measure, according to the purity and perfections of the instrument, will be the success. It is not the great talents God blesses so much as great Christ-likeness as to Jesus. A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God. Please listen to me. It did not matter how David played the harp, though he played beautifully. It did not matter how David handled the flocks, though he did so wonderfully. It did not matter that David was cunning in his hunting and skilled with his slingshot. All of that was secondary. What mattered was this fact, that David was a man with a heart for God, a man who panted after God, like the deer panteth for water. What mattered was that David thought about God and sang about God and thought of the words of God. David was a man after God's own heart. Please understand today, God is not looking necessarily for someone who can sing the best solo or preach the best sermon or throw the fastest hardball or make the slam dunk. All of that is secondary if you and your children do not pant after the righteousness of Almighty God. Someone says, boy, we have a church with a lot of nice and talented people. I've got to remind you, my friend, our talent and our nicety are not what God desires. God desires a heart that is totally for Him. The selection of David was based upon his heart. You know why God has blessed you to this point? I believe it's because you've expressed a heart for Him. But let other things crowd that out. Let other things begin to push God out of the throne room of your heart, and watch how fast, like Saul, you'll be waiting for the blessing of God. Oh, friend, I beg you this morning, keep your heart for God. Don't just let God into the throne room of your heart, but put Him on the throne and let Him be your all in all. We see the selection of David, but notice secondly, the sanctification of David, if you would. Look at our text this morning and verse 13. What an interesting verse. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. By the way, how many of you think Eliab and some of the others were surprised by that? I mean, I don't know, and you don't know, but sometimes it's fun to imagine that when Samuel walked up, by the way, Dr. Rasmussen, why don't you stand? I believe Dr. Rasmussen would have been a good Eliab, don't you? And he's a man after God's heart too. But I can imagine that as Samuel walked up to Eliab, I can imagine Samuel looking at him, whoa, he's got to be the one. He's tall and he's the elder. And I don't know, but I imagine Eliab going, kind of expecting it, you know. I can imagine too that when Samuel knelt down and the oil was now, when David knelt down and the oil was now being placed on his head, I imagine Eliab's countenance could have fallen a little bit. Thank you. In fact, I think the text will bear that out in just a moment. Notice here in verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now, this oil was symbolic in the Old Testament of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And I must remind you this morning that when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And when you accepted Christ as your Savior, at that very moment, you, my friend, were the recipient of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. God lovingly called you out, and God lovingly anointed you with His Spirit. Oh, what a great day. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. In fact, we read down in verse number 18, at the latter portion of the verse, the Bible says, and the Lord is with him. You see, everyone saw it. And I believe when someone is truly born again, everyone sees it. I believe people sense there's something different about him. He's been set apart for a special purpose. He does business a different way. He talks a different way. He's interested in different things. He's a different man. God's hand is upon him, and the Holy Spirit of God has anointed him. That was David's wonderful, wonderful testimony. And that should be your testimony and mine. For if you have been born again, then God Almighty lives within you. And the Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, my friend, the day you were saved, the Spirit of God indwelt you. And yet God says we're to be filled and led by the Holy Spirit of God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God did not save you so that you could live on the sideline or do what you want to do, but God saved you so that He might anoint you and use you for His holy purpose. Oh, what a great thing it is to be chosen of God and to be anointed of God. Well, we see David's calling. David was a man called of God because he had a pure heart. How many of you want God to use your life? Oh, I don't know about you. I don't want to be like Saul, set aside. I want to be like David, right in the middle of the action. I want God to use my life. But God says, keep your heart pure. God says, don't crowd me out of your heart. I'm looking for a man whose heart is after me. David's calling is significant. But notice secondly this morning, David's cause. You see, God does not save you without intending to use you for his glory. David was a man who had a holy cause in his life. I want you to notice in the first place, his cause was for the faith. You see, that was a great battle taking place. It was not only the battle between the Philistines and the children of Israel, but in fact, it was a battle between the God of Israel and the gods of the Philistines. We get a glimpse into the battlefield in chapter 17, and we'll not take time for every verse this morning, but I want you to get a glimpse into the battlefield if you would. Notice in verse 43 of chapter 17, just as we jump ahead for a moment, you'll here get a glimpse of this giant by the name of Goliath. This 9-foot-plus giant who shouted obscenities and threatenings and cursings toward God's people on a daily basis. And in chapter 17, in verse 43, and he said, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you cometh to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. In other words, Goliath, in the name of his gods, was cursing David and was threatening David and David's God. Oh, we get a picture of the threat beginning in verse number 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochah, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shochah and Azekah in Ephesdamin. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye the servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And I might add, my friend, when you're not right with God and God's blessing is not on your life, when trials come, you'll be greatly afraid. When you're in the hospital, when you're in a time of difficulty and you know you've not been walking with God, you'll have great fear. But when you have the anointing of God upon your life and you have the Spirit of God upon your life and a trial comes, you'll not fear. You'll put your heart of trust in God. Here we see Saul cowering and fearing and the Philistine Goliath threatening and yelling out against the children of Israel. What a tragedy. And so God brings David into the picture, and his cause was a cause for the faith. And I want you to know that David had a great concern in his heart. He was concerned that the enemies of God would speak out against the people of God. I may say today we need some Davids in this society. When we hear people cursing the name of Christ, when we hear people demeaning Christianity and removing the Ten Commandments from public places and speaking out against the cause of Christ, we need some people today who will have a cause that is for the faith once delivered unto the saints.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. You can find out more information about Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find a link to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, also a link to the Daily in the Word podcast, where you can listen to recent broadcasts or subscribe to this daily broadcast and take it with you on your computer or your portable music player. I would encourage you to refer a friend also to dailyintheword.org. We have a special gift we'd like to send you this month when you call or write to us, and when you give a gift to this ministry, when you stand with us and partner with us, your investment into Daily in the Word is literally an investment into the teaching and preaching of the Word of God across the country and around the world through the internet and through stations in this country. Your gift is an investment into airtime, and it goes a long ways to helping us communicate the gospel and the Word of God to so many listeners across the country. This month, we want to strengthen you in your faith and trust, especially when it comes to the economy that we're living with. And we have a book from Dr. Chappell entitled Living on God's Economy, 10 Reasons to Place Your Financial Hope in the Promises of God. This booklet will be a strength to your faith and to your financial stability in a world of question. Once again, Living on God's Economy, 10 Reasons to Place Your Financial Hope in the Promises of God. And it's our gift to you this month when you send a gift of any amount to the ministry of Daily in the Word. If you'd like to partner with us, the easiest way to do so is to visit us online at dailyintheword.org and click on the Donate tab. If you'd like to, you can call us toll-free. Our number is 1-800-201-7748. 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can write a letter and mail it to Daily in the Word at 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.